welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 15 with Paul and Barry.
Hi, how are you doing? And today's episode is called Onwards and Upwards.
Onwards and Upwards.
Lots of exciting stuff to talk about.
We do. So we're going to crack on. It's a bonus episode. We weren't sure we'd get one done. Paul's flown back from New York today, overnight.
Yeah, literally. It is the 31st, Thursday, the evening. I came back from New York this morning. I'm here tonight, and then I go away with the army tomorrow. So.
And he's on no sleep, as
I'm on
ever.
No sleep, as
a student he is.
Well, the plane, like, you don't sleep on planes, do you? I don't really. Anyway.
Snooze.
But it was like, I came back and I was like, I'll just stay awake and push, gut this out. I mean, thing is, with the night shifts, it's like, you know, it's quite doable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for turning in, Paul.
Yeah. Thanks for fitting this in, Barry. This is neat.
Well, it's all right. So, tonight we're going to talk about a bit of random stuff. So, what have you been doing this week, Paul? Let's get that out of the way. Well, we're not even in New York. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so I was between flights. I was in New York for 4 days. So a holiday with my wife. It was really good, actually. I mean, like, I'd been to New York when I was like 14 or something, so I couldn't really remember. But all I can remember was it wasn't worth going to the Statue of Liberty Island. That's all I can remember.
Staten Island.
Liberty Island.
Oh, Liberty Island.
Okay. Yeah, we got the Staten Ferry, which gives you a free. Over to Staten Island, but it's not worth going on the island. I didn't think so, because it's a big statue, and you get closer, and you're like, it's a big statue.
Big statue.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking up at it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot, and you do a lot of looking up in New York, you know. Anyway, it was fantastic.
And you're old enough to drink this time.
Yes, well, that's the thing.
That's good.
But I felt, because the thing, something I went out there is that I thought I'd like to go and drink in a couple of, like, classic American bars, like, and actually, I couldn't find any. What I could find was thousands of Irish bars. Honestly, like, there isn't. I don't think I could find in New York. Like, this is an American bar. All I could find was Irish pubs,
okay.
Basically. And I like an Irish pub, but actually, I said to Hannah, the things we've enjoyed most are the things that remind us most of England.
Well, Irish pubs?
No, like, I enjoyed the Irish pub. I enjoyed Central Park. Which is modelled after, like, British landscaping.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it was very nice. Central Park. But we went into Central Park thinking, oh, you see it at the top of the Empire State Building, you think, well, that looks quite reasonable, we'll walk around that. No, it's massive, actually,
yeah.
Central Park.
That's pretty big.
It's like, while we were walking there, we had Tom Hiddleston run past us. Yeah, like,
Tom.
A very famous actor at the moment. No, we didn't get to say anything, but, Hannah
would have run after
Hannah would have licked
stalked him.
Yeah, like...
licked him.
Yeah, anyway, that was really good. I enjoyed... Also, highlights for me. I mean, obviously, there was all the classic sites and everything. Okay, so I went to a bar called Barcade, which I Googled top 10 geeky things to do in New York, and this was one of them. And basically, it was a bar with loads of... arcade games from about 20 years old, which you could play for a quarter. So we had some drinks and we played some games. We put like $5 of change in and just played some classics.
Sounds cool.
It was cool. I really enjoyed that, actually. And it's like, if I lived in New York, that would be a local. That's where I'd go.
That's where
you'd
go.
Drink. That's where I'd go for a drink. Also, last thing I want to point out, which I maybe irrelevant to podcasting, is when I was in outside New York University, they have a park there and they have permanent chess sets set up. Walking in there. And there's guys waiting to play you at chess.
Hustling you.
Hustling you, yeah, literally. And there was this old boy sitting there, and he's like, seemed quite friendly. I guess about 70 or so. And the deal is it's $3. And if you win, he pays you $3. If you lose, you pay him $3. And as I sat down to, like, play this guy, now, I played a bit of chess, but, like, I'm not a regular chess player, so I'm expecting to get hammered. He's like, do you want to be on the death clock 5 minutes? And I was like, of course I do. And
it's
like,
why not?
So, yeah, like, we're on this chess clock 5 minutes, and, yeah, it was cat and mouse to begin with, but then I lost my queen, and the piece trading started all downhill. But I really enjoyed that as an experience, because I was sitting there, and I was like, yeah, if I lived in New York, I'd turn up every day, like, at this
to get
guy to play this guy, like, in his, like, fund his retirement or something. But, like,
Mr. Miyagi, he'd just be ruining you every day.
I don't know, but, like,
wax
I mean,
on, wax off.
I mean, I've often thought that if I don't know, if fantasy games went away or something for me, I could be into chess, but. Yeah, definitely. I enjoy chess as a game.
Okay.
And it was fun playing this random guy in this park. It was quite interesting. But yeah, so that I've been in New York and I go off with the army tomorrow. So I'm on this 10-day shooting camp, which is a bit of a laugh, really, because, like, why does that matter? I'm a nurse.
10 days?
I know. It's strangely long, but I'm getting paid well for it. And I'm going there intending to paint my Empire / Dogs of War army, because the schedule is you're on the ranges from 8:30 to 4:30. They haven't said what we're doing in the evening. They'll find things for us to do in the evening, but as a default, I'll be painting models. So, like, yeah, hopefully I'll have my own room as I'm an officer, and I'll be happily painting away my Dogs of War. So, yeah, and suppose that add that onto what I've been up to.
You did play a game.
Oh, of NetEpic.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Do you want to mention it?
Yeah, go on then. It was our second game. Yeah, okay. The classic one. Yeah, again,
just do the highlight. It was the highlight.
Okay, so I played Anthony at a game of 3,000 points of NetEpic. I used my Space Marines, which I haven't up there, which I hadn't used before yet, and I really enjoyed using them. And he used Orcs. He took a Slasher Gargan, which is a middle range Gargan. Not the smallest, not the biggest, and that thing just wouldn't die.
You should have ignored it.
I should have done, but it was quite funny. It was, we're in these early days of NetEpic, and until we find out what's broken or not, that's the way this game will go. It's hilarious until you've played it too much, and then you start realising, hang on, what really works? And that'll then, and I know this will happen, that's what. Then the fun will go from it a bit, because people will be like, well, why don't I just take that?
Why don't I take six Gargans?
Why don't I take six Gargans? Yeah, if they're the best min-maxing thing I can take.
And a couple of unit of boys, that'll
do. Kind of, basically. Because the way these Gargans are, they can soak so much firepower, it's hilarious. Literally, it's just funny the way the dynamic is, because you hit the thing, and then you look on the chart, you choose your location, you roll the scatter dice to see where you're
shot. There's nothing there.
And it's like, nothing there. Oh, I've hit the hell again. What does that mean? Oh, a fire. And what does that mean? Not much. It's like, oh my God, this is hilarious. But, you know, equally, you couldn't take it seriously because you get so frustrated by it.
No tournament play then.
As I said before, I think the only thing we could do with NetEpic is just have NetEpic days, and that'll be the way enjoyment of it. I mean, you know, keep it enjoyable. It's not. You can't take it competitive. You couldn't play it competitive. Do I mention this package?
Oh, that's later. We'll do that later. Don't worry, sir. All right. So I've actually played a couple of games of Warmaster. Which is good news. I played against Nick last Wednesday. I was playing Lizardmen. He was playing Tomb Kings. And he absolutely ruined me.
Yeah.
Ruined me.
What happened?
Well, I made the classic mistake of overexposing some of my brigades.
Yeah.
And he just swallowed them up.
No.
Turn two, swallowed a brigade.
You were playing on a desert table.
Mm-hmm. So, turn two, I pushed a brigade forward. That was like skinks and three sauruses. And it just completely got swallowed up. Gone.
So he made a lot of raised dead rolls, didn't he? Like
his first three, I think he made, which is that's bad news.
That's bad. That's really bad.
And he made all his commands, so he wasn't going in like piecemeal. Yeah. He was like completely surrounding. So
yeah,
all four sides of that brigade were surrounded.
Well, it's going to go fall over, isn't it? It's going to be bad times.
And then the next turn, another four went, and it's like, okay, I'm in real trouble now.
Yeah.
So that's most of my punch was gone. He just played an exceptionally good game. The dice were with him, and yeah.
Because of what Nick's got, like we are dabbling around with a lot of armies, obviously, because we're doing this podcast. Nick's playing the army he has, which is undead. Yeah, Tomb Kings.
Yeah,
and he's obviously getting better at it.
He was doing some fantastic stuff.
Yeah,
fantastic stuff.
No, so it's like, I mean, practice rewards play. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. He made no easy mistakes. I couldn't pick off his skull chuckers. He had them separate. He had archers in the middle, so you couldn't get to both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He was protecting them.
He played much better.
He gave me good hiding.
Good hiding.
Well done, him. Mm-hmm. And then I played Jim last night. I was using ogres for the second time.
So just to recap, Jim is one of the double act that heads up Saffron Warden.
Yep, and he's the guy that wrote the rule book. The rule book.
Yes.
Your rule book.
Yes. He's the scribe.
The scribe. Jim the scribe. He was playing Chaos Dwarfs, and I was playing Ogres for the second time. And Ogres seemed... it was a different list. I used I'll post it up, but it wasn't a list I would have normally used, but Jim was trying to encourage me to try Yetis and try Gorgeous. And they did seem to work, but the problem is that it's such an expensive list, you just can't have everything you want.
So, were these models... Because he brought the army, the physical models. Because I saw the pictures.
Yeah. It was a really nice army that I think his son, maybe his name's Tom, painted. Mm. So it's like 4,000 points.
And what are the ogre models? What are they?
Oh, he's got like millions of bulls.
Oh, right. Like, so, he's converted... Oh, right. Taking a unit of ogres and converted them. Like, is that
The basic bulls.
Yeah.
Oh, so you have the basic Warmaster ogres as bulls, and then he'd convert them to belchers.
That is the,
And iron guts.
Brilliant.
It was an epic. Yeah, it was really good. So I'll post up my list. It had breakpoint 8. I felt reasonably comfortable, although I made a load of really noob mistakes. For example, I put the giant with my general. Never a good idea. So I didn't want the giant to fail his order. Mm-hmm. So then I moved the giant last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the general ordered the brigades he was looking after, and then the giant, and the giant, of course, failed.
And attack the brigade?
Luckily, he didn't throw the rock far enough.
All right, but he would have done.
But he would have done, yeah. And now he's behind the brigades.
Ah, right, yeah.
So then I swapped for a hero, but then it was still a pain in the arse because I had to order him first and he was behind.
Whoops.
And then, that was bad. And then I tried to take on dwarfs in defended, which isn't a good thing to do ever. And especially as Chaos Dwarfs actually have a terrifying character.
Mm. Yeah, they can mount a character.
So what GM cleverly did was he put that character in the position that I'd lightly initiative charge.
Yeah.
So now I'm charging into defended, and I'm terrified.
Yeah, it's not going to go well, is it?
No, it didn't go well. I think I was 6-0 down by turn 2 or 3, and I managed to get it to 8-3. Mm. But
I think when we come to Chaos Dwarves, I think they're going to be a really good army, Chaos Dwarves.
Mm. So what I did think was... access to cavalry with dwarves is a real bonus.
Yeah, like so Chaos Dwarves, and they've got a terror-causing flyer as well.
What are they called? Iron Gourd? Lead Gourd? What are they called? The big cannon? It's like a skull truck. Earthshaker. Oh, God, that was a nightmare. The first time it hit, I think it confused 3 units.
Oh!
And then I managed to close in, so it shot off the front, and it left... a space for the unit behind to charge his cannon, because I'd run across the board to try and get these pecking cannons. And he managed to confuse he hit the guys on the front. They were confused, obviously, because you're rolling on a 4+. Yeah, plus. Yeah. But then it's a 6 for everybody else, and he hit the ones that could initially charge. Like, so if you build your brigade as normal, like 2 at the front, 2 behind, and he hits any of those at the front, there's a potential to confuse all of them,
isn't it?
It's just a disaster.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good.
It is good.
It's strong.
So they have cavalry, they have decent artillery. They were good.
Yeah. Did they use blunderbuss as much?
No, you didn't go near them. But I don't know if that's just personal taste.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm.
And they have sorcerers.
Yeah. Wizards.
Yeah, but there's not much to say about Chaos Dwarves. I like them. Mm-hmm. If I was going to build a dwarf, I'd build Chaos Dwarves.
Yeah, fair enough.
So what else have we been doing? Oh, there was an interesting thing that... he was removing casualties before pushing back, which is apparently how you do it. We do it the other way around. We push back and then remove casualties.
Yeah, you push back and then remove casualties.
Oh, hey! But no. I mean, it worked against me mostly.
Yeah.
It was good for me because I was getting smashed.
No, I would talk to him about that. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, because that's good. Because that's one thing, playing against Jim and then playing against you, because you're part of the triumvirate.
Yeah, well,
Alex, I'm always kind of... I think you need to play with each other more often so that you can iron out these rules.
That's what we need to do, isn't it? Definitely. I mean, definitely the three of us need to... I mean, Jim and Alex obviously play a lot, but I need to play Jim, probably. More.
And Alex?
Well, yeah. More.
And then thrash out...
These little particulars.
I noticed differences of how they... so say you're pursuing, how they pursue and how we pursue. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, when we played that big game at Christmas, over the I didn't pick up on anything major. Like,
we were playing against dwarves. Not much.
Yeah,
happened.
I suppose. I mean, I just need to play. I just need to play them.
You do, and then we can iron out any differences.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent off my high elf army to Rid. Given up.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
What is it? As in, you've sent him to paint it?
I have.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Rid the machine. Thanks, Rid.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll have another painted army, so that's good.
That's awesome.
I'll have a fully, because my Lizardman isn't fully painted.
When it comes round to our next hosted event, Bunker Warmaster 2, hopefully I'll have loads of painted armies, and that's something I'll offer down to people at the club. I'll be like, please come and play, and you can use a painted army of mine.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't know how to play. Like, I'll teach you on the day.
All you have to do is roll dice.
Yeah.
I roll well. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I'm doing is I'm building a table.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of using that Citadel gaming board crap. so you have to put together. So it's just it's basically a nice bit of plywood and then build a frame around it so it doesn't warp.
Brilliant.
It'll be nice.
Cool.
I'll post some pictures of them. I'm doing a bit of joinery in my spare time there. And then one last thing is I got some help from a guy. Well, you might remember last time I was saying that I couldn't pronounce this guy's name, and Paul said, "Oh, I can't pronounce this lady's name that sent me something." So I just printed the thing off now so Paul can look and see if he can pronounce this guy's name.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Well, it's not even English, is it?
No, Scott, I think it's Russian.
Is it Russian?
It ends in three H's.
Well, I've no idea.
Of course, it's a different alphabet, isn't it? I don't even know what the letters mean.
But yeah.
It's A, something, yeah. E, K, C, E, H, that's the first name. Is that a B, E, N, backwards R, H, A, K?
Backwards R.
There you go. Knock yourself out. Thank you for your advice. He gave me some advice on how to play ogres. I'll be putting that to good use, and I'll be playing that exact list against Bretonian next week. On Wednesday.
Yeah,
so that's the list he recommended.
What's the break point?
Oh, I don't know, probably about 7 or 8.
Yeah, okay.
That's standard, apparently. Apparently, we're too precious about having big break points. 7 or 8 is quite a normal.
What for?
Apparently.
Right, okay. We shall see when this happens.
So, Phil and your Bretonians, that's what you'll be facing. We'll be feasting on your human flesh.
Well, they're a bit chewy notes, aren't they? Like, oh, and the metal.
We'll just boil them in the stew. Boil them in the suits.
Okay.
Get the gribblies. Giblets out. Okay, next. Right, we're going legit, Paul.
Right, yeah, big drum roll, big. So, this is our biggest news.
Second
biggest news is that we have a sponsor. Yes, Kaiser Rushforth is sponsoring us going from now on. And all that means is that we are obviously obliged to plug them, use their products, and they provide said products. And there'll be other much more useful ways that will be helping us going forward. But obviously, it legitimizes us, doesn't it? That's what you can say.
Because they'll be advertising us. It's not like a one-way street. It's not like, oh, KR, they're the best. Yeah. KR are decent. I've got a lot of KR stuff. Yeah, I don't buy any... I don't mean to bad about GW, but I don't buy any GW cases.
Oh, God, no.
The KR cases will fit like hundreds of miniatures.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no, that is something you do not get from GW, is their cases. it's going to be a two-way deal.
Yeah, they're going to advertise us, we're going to advertise them. They're going to throw some sponsorship to Paul's events, which is nice. So not only will we get miniatures and stuff, but Paul's going to have cases.
What's really nice is that it came out of nowhere. Basically, a friend of ours works in KR. And they are based in Southend. We're in Chelmsford. Basically, for those who don't know, it's actually quite close by where they're based. They're a very good company. They make beautiful cases for transporting models. And they're a real success story. And a guy's original idea and now have a staff, I think, of about 20 or something. And their only real competition is Battle...
I can't remember, Paul. We're not going to mention it.
Oh, okay. No, but they're better, basically.
They are better. Yeah, they are better. You get much better value for money. So, anyway, we're sponsored now by KR. We won't go on about it all the time, but we'll probably have to plug it one episode at the beginning.
Well, what we'll do is like a proper podcast, we'll have brought to you by so-and-so. I'm all American at the moment. Hey, I'm walking here. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, you buy some KR, eh?
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that's how we'll do it. But the thing is, it's not hard to plug something you are generally... That's not difficult at all, is it? It's not like... Because, I mean, like, I've been using these cases that are, like, the really useful box. So, like, as in, that's a company, it's called... Basically, it's a plastic case. It ain't great, because it's, like... But it's there, it's cheap. It's, like, obviously, a proper bespoke case is going to be much better for that every time.
Yeah.
So, it's not a hard thing to swallow.
Okay, well done, KR. So, thanks for getting involved and sponsoring us.
Yes.
Okay, next one is we're getting too big for our current podcast host.
I know.
We started off on a little free, it was a free package. Then we went to the next level up. Then we went to the next level up, and now we're having issues. We might have to go up again, which puts it to the level that we really have to move to somewhere that we don't have to keep scaling up every time we break a boundary. So the next place we go will be a permanent, it doesn't matter how many listeners we get, it doesn't matter how many downloads we get, it doesn't matter how much stuff we store, it'll be there permanently. So this will be a once-only move. Hopefully it doesn't happen too quickly, although there is possibility that it'll happen in the next week or two. I'll try and run them both sites concurrently so you can download from both places. But basically, we're moving from Podcast Machine to Podbean, and we need to sign up for a year. So that means we'll be bringing you this for at least the next year.
We have committed. If you like what you listen to, you definitely got us for a year.
So it's coming for the next year because we're signing up for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've got another. So that's the next bit of important news. So we're going to be moving. I'll post it around on our Facebook page. And we'll put it on the podcast, but it may be you have to research on iTunes for our podcast because it might stop updating the RSS feed.
Oh, so, I suppose, yeah. Okay.
Mm. So I don't think I can change the feed in iTunes. I just think I have to repost a new podcast called the same thing with a different RSS feed, basically.
Okay.
Okay, so it might stop updating. Just search again and you'll find us again. Yeah. And you might get the new improved logo as well.
And subscribe to that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Test Paul with the rules is our next subject.
Right, go on then.
Okay. So, Paul, after no sleep.
And drinking some Hogarden. Go on,
drinking some Hogarden. Mm-hmm. What type of unit can pursue cavalry?
Cavalry and flyers.
Cavalry and flyers.
Can monsters pursue?
I don't know. Can monsters pursue?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, that was the one, you see. I didn't know. Monsters can pursue.
Monsters can pursue. There's very few monsters.
Well, it's a reason for me to say monsters. Because when I build lists, like I was building my ogre list, I said, God, these are susceptible to cavalry.
Yeah.
Because I've only got my Rhinox riders pursue.
Yeah.
But once you add in your giant can pursue and your gorgeous can pursue.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's a good counter to things like Bretonian. Because if you can get swarmed by Bretonian knights, suddenly... You've got.
I suppose. I mean, I'm just trying to think. Like, why wouldn't I know that? But actually, the armies I've run recently haven't had monsters in them. Like, I can't think of.
No, I'd hardly ever take monsters. Yeah, I didn't think they could do that.
Well, no, but like, I'm just trying to think. Like, when would I? Why don't I know this?
Because, dark elves. You use monsters.
I suppose, but like, I mean, it's just a bit random, isn't it? Like, anyway, yeah.
And the reason they can pursue is because it doesn't say they can't.
Yeah. Brilliant.
that's how it works.
Yeah.
So on the rules of who can pursue cavalry, it states infantry and artillery can't.
Ah,
so everybody else can.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mailbag. We're going to whip through it today because this is a bonus episode and Paul's got to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. So mailbag. Well, you got gifts from faraway places.
I do. How would you pronounce that name?
Well, the first bit's easy.
Yeah.
Her name's Christina. I don't know if you want to read out the next bit.
No, I'd just get that wrong, wouldn't I?
Yeah, yeah, and you don't really want
to... Heiselmeier. Christina
Say Christina. I'm not going to read it. Christina.
I know you're listening, because thanks very much. I've been sent a unit of proper GW ogres to use my Dogs of War army, which I mentioned...
Still in blister.
Yeah, I know. Fantastic. Which I mentioned in a podcast a couple of episodes ago, that like I would use some GW ones if I could find ones for real, reasonable money, because I had been using these unit from Pendragon, which nothing wrong with them, but the GW ones are nicer. And out of nowhere, I got contacted by Facebook and been sent these as a bonus, or like as a thank you for recording the podcast. So thank you very much, Christina. They will now forever be known as my German ogre unit, as they're from Germany, and like they're mercenaries, clearly. They will be used in a tournament that we go to, the next one we go to, April 30th, when I'll play our doubles, because I'm definitely going to do Dogs of War. I'm definitely going to use this unit of ogres, and we'll see what happens. We were chatting on Facebook. She's off to play in an event tomorrow in Germany, a Warmaster tournament.
And, is that the 1500 point one?
I don't know. It's her first event. So good luck in that.
Yeah, knock 'em dead, Christina.
And I was saying, I said to her, it's our kind of a pipe dream of ours. To play in an international event. And she, didn't understand the term pipe dream.
Okay.
That's why I suppose that is English. But, basically...
I don't even know what it means.
Well, wouldn't it be good to go
and
play?
Yes, but what's a pipe dream?
Pipe dream?
No, what it is. Well, why is it called a pipe dream?
I don't know.
Well, I was going to take somebody from Germany. No. Somebody from England doesn't even know what it means.
Oh, fair enough. enough then. It would be great to go and play internationally. And who knows, maybe with these kind of connections, maybe there'd be a reason to, you know, do this kind of thing. God knows, really.
Maybe.
Yeah, like,
who One knows? Thing that struck me when I looked at this blister, is the price. You see, if you could go back in time, 10 years, and know what you know now.
More like 15.
No, well, maybe. Yeah, but they were still available 10 years ago. Yeah. And they were £5 a booster.
Yeah.
How many of these would you get?
I'd
fill my bloody garage.
Yeah. I'd be like, this is money for the future.
You'd be like, smoke. Yeah. Lying on your bed in blisters.
Oh, blisters. Yeah, like, don't open them. Like,
that's 12 models for £5. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, there would be a rise of price of inflation. You don't know. I mean, that's what they originally were sold at. They wouldn't be. If they were still available, they wouldn't be sold at that now. Then GW have upped the prices.
Well, they have, yeah.
But like, I'm just saying, it's a bit. I don't know. You can't look too fondly on it. And anyway, as a thank you, Christina. If you ever find yourself in England, of course, and I live close to London. If you need a place to stay or recommendations of what to do, obviously, this house is available.
Hit Paul up.
Yeah, hit me Paul up.
We'll take you out in Chelmsford for a drink.
That'd be hilarious.
To an Irish pub. Because Paul likes those, apparently. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to Jim. He gave me a unit of Chaos Dwarf Bull Centaurs.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's good. Awesome. That's the first of my Chaos Army. Yeah. Well, Chaos Dwarf Army.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Jim. Next one. We have to go tactfully on this one. Lords of Lands Historical from Craig. We had an email. You're good at reading emails.
Yep. Okay.
There you go, sir. That's this one.
This one here. Hi guys, I'm the author of Lords and Lands, but the basing and scale system for this game is open, and Warmaster basing lends itself to the game, especially if you put two bases together to make one unit. Do you guys fancy giving it a go? And there's more stuff, he says, etc.
So explain a bit about the game and how it works. And
it's basically a hit or miss, which can be substituted for a dice. It's a bag of tokens, 15 of one colour, 15 of another. It's hit or miss, and it can be substituted for dice 1, 2, 3, miss, 4, 5, 6, hit. But I would say, give it a go, all nuances all of its own. I love Warmaster, got me Dogs of War, good, Empire, and a Crownlands Game of Thrones army. That I'd like to see, actually.
Yeah,
and this game has appealed to all my Warmaster mates. It appears simple, but don't let it fool you, it's tactical as your opponent. So basically, an alternative to Warmaster.
Yeah. This is a historical, I believe, at the moment, but there is a fantasy version, and you'll be able to play against historical against fantasy, I believe, is the idea.
Romans versus orcs.
Indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's magic. I didn't get that far in, to be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he did send me the files, and what I would say is, with the best will in the world, I think that they've maybe gone to market a little bit early.
Yeah.
And I think it could have done with a little bit more pizzazz in the book. So maybe a bit of art, maybe having the army lists in the book. And it may be that you need to kind of think about generating a critical mass of players. And I don't know how you do that. Maybe you'd have to kind of give the books away for a while and then reissue the books with more art and more army
not
lists.
Not easy to do.
But how do you get somebody to play a game?
It's very difficult.
If you look at even Privateer Press now, even GW.
Yeah.
GW now given away the rules for Age of Sigmar. There's no cost getting in now.
No, it's nothing.
Privateer Press have given away the rules for Primal and Hordes Primal and War Machine Prime.
Their core rules gone.
But they're big books. 240 pages, full colour, bang, gone, free.
Yeah.
So in order to get somebody to play now, sometimes you're just going to have to bite the bullet and say, look, maybe I'm going to have to give you the rule book. And once we've got a player base, then I can kind of have like a collector's edition rule book or something else.
Yeah.
But it is hard, because how do you then make money out of something if you're giving away the rule book?
Exactly. You're giving it away. You're not making money, are you? Definitely.
And they can only do that because they're making the miniatures. They're not making money on rule books. Mm-hmm. They're making money on miniatures.
Yeah.
So I don't know, sir. I think your game looked interesting, although not interesting enough to make me want to play it. So that says what it says.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for sending it to us. And if you do any more things with it, then send it and I'll have another look at it. And we'll obviously plug it. And if I do get around to playing it, I'll talk about it.
Cool. Fair enough.
Right. We have the Westlothian question from Guy.
Yeah.
The Westlothian question, you don't know what that is, do you?
I read it quickly.
No, you don't know what the Westlothian question is, do you? What? I can tell. It's kind of, maybe you're just tired.
No, I did read the emails.
It's a famous question. It's called the West Lothian question.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Okay, it's basically, it's the English Parliament. It's Scottish MPs voting on English law.
Is it?
That's called the West Lothian question.
Why should they vote?
Well, it doesn't matter about why. It's just this guy asked a question from West Lothian. So
I think we should, like, bring back Braveheart.
Sorry, it just made me laugh that it was a West Lothian question. It's some political nonsense from the UK. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So, this is an email from Guy.
Yep.
Paul, better voice this time.
Better voice.
Less squeaky.
Hi. Thanks for putting in the effort to produce the podcast. Much appreciated. I'm growing the community in West Lothian and intend doing more. New players and old. Can you point me towards a summary of the house rule you use? Support before casualties removal, rally back, so not going forward, etc, etc. Thanks again. I'm aware of the French version, the most notable other inclusion of theirs from Warmaster Ancients being the limited number of orders permitted. Guy.
Okay, now that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I obviously sent him the list of the house rules.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting if we were there. I don't know if that means the limit of one character
or
one unit can be ordered limited.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's something we're going to explore very soon.
Is it a cap on total orders or is it a cap on how many orders that unit can have?
Or how many units the general can give, or the commander can give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we will ask Janus when we play him soon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But that I believe is the French version, isn't it?
Yeah. So
that's the evolution.
The evolution of Warmaster version 2/Warmaster Ancients.
Warmaster Ancients.
Yeah, Warmaster. Yeah.
If anybody has got a translation of this, please send it over so I can read it, and then. So then when we talk to Janus, we've got something to talk about other than Ancients.
Or we just get Jim to translate it for us.
Ah, so he wasn't interested.
Oh, come on. What's he got? What's he doing?
Well, he's lecturing history at university.
But he could be translating French.
Maybe he could give it out as a project to your student.
Yeah. Translate this for me now.
You're just going to show the will, the desire. Okay, so... thanks a lot, Guy, for that. And I hope you have success in getting a community in West Lothian. I don't really know where West Lothian is. I mean, it's obviously in the west of Scotland somewhere. The west of Lothian. But
I have no idea.
Glasgow. That's Glasgow. That's the only bit I know on the west. Mm-hmm. Good luck to you.
But if you ever come south, you know, like, you can play us.
Yeah, and if you want us to shout your club out, or you want, you're doing an event, post us the details and we'll shout it out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then finally, we're talking about what's coming up.
Yep.
So we're playing. When's the game? Is that the week Friday?
The date we've set
with Janus. So we're playing a game and of Warmaster Ancients.
It is the 15th because that fits into my and your schedule. 15th of April.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
nothing. It's not going to be the 15th of April. We'll discuss that later.
Oh, okay.
Damn! We're going to try and get a doubles practice game against Jim and Janus.
Yep. Yep.
The filth they're bringing to that event. Do you know they're playing Cathon and Nibbit?
Yeah, but they're the spare players.
Are they?
Yeah. They can't win their own event.
They can't
win their own event.
You're telling them, are you?
Well, that'd be bad form.
I was warned off. Jim said, you know, there comes a point in every Warmaster player's life where they have to stop using high elves. I only used them once. One event, I came fifth. Come and see me after I win an event, and then I'll consider to stop using them.
Cathay and Nippon. That's balls. That's broken as balls.
It's broken as balls. It's like, oh my god.
But against that, I'm taking an old Gargant.
So I will most likely be bringing painted high elves if Rid comes through.
Ah, right, we've changed the game, have we? Right, so you're using high elves, and I'm still sticking with Dogs of War.
Yeah, but
I'm committed.
It's good to be committed. Yeah. It's funny that my general orders your stuff as well as your general.
Just get order.
It's like, come on, boys, come with me, forget about those guys.
Forget about those guys.
We've got all the money, we're elves.
Okay, well, yeah, it works. Yeah, I mean, high elves are good, Dogs of War neutral, they'll work with them. Yep.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and practice. We'll at least get one game in.
It would be great to play them, especially, for many reasons, not just practice for the event. It'd be great if we could smash them, though, couldn't it? I would lord it.
Love it.
I would love that. If we're not like a little win, a big win.
Big win.
Yeah.
Like just crush the one samurai. Of them,
and then we crush the next one.
Yeah. It's not that, man. We can dream.
Yeah.
And then another thing we're going to do coming up is a try with doubles report?
Yes.
After the event?
Yes, definitely.
We'll try and do some interviews, but I always say that, but it never happens.
At the very least, we could do a recording on the car journey back home.
As long as it's not raining.
As long as it's not raining. Definitely, we could record something the same day, easily.
Okay, good. Right. And then we're going to do some more army reviews.
Which is, we got
that's bread and butter.
That's bread and butter. That's bread and
I don't know what the next one's going to be. You've got to do the next one, haven't you? I did the last one.
Oh, I've got to play the army then.
Yeah, wasn't
one.
It?
Yeah.
Didn't I do Lizardman?
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to do then?
Oh, I don't know. Skaven.
Oh my god. Well, you better get some games in with it. You haven't even played with it. You played with it once.
I know, but I love Skaven. Okay. You can't wait to the fluff of Skaven. Oh. That's a whole episode in itself.
Okay. Right, okay. The fluff of Skaven. Okay, right, that's good. So our next one will be Skaven. We'll fit that in when we can.
Maybe, to be honest, it should be Dogs of War, shouldn't it? Since
well, you're actually playing with them. That'd
but that might be the thing the army review to do, isn't it? Dogs of War, because of the doubles.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you've got to get some practice. We've got to at least a few games.
Yeah, we've got to play some more games. Yeah.
I'm going to try and do Ogres next, although I've got a long way to go with those bad boys. A long way to go. Okay, so that was our mini episode. We're probably only going to be at 40 minutes, but that's fine. Contact details are the same as ever. The Facebook page, which is going to become important if we do have to change hosts, because that's the only physical presence we have. We don't have our own website. Yeah. Just use Facebook. Why not? They abuse me.
We will be recording next on the week beginning the 11th at some date, because I'm away with the army, so sorry about that there. But so
that's why we had to get this one
you
in.
You got this little bonus cheeky one in for free, didn't you? A little cheeky little episode.
Cheeky.
Yeah, like, come on, drink Baileys from a shoe. Brilliant. Cheeky.
I think Paul needs some sleep. Right, so that was Warmaster Podcast episode 15 with Paul and Barry.
See you later.
Good night.
Don't fall.